Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to make a start. There's even less here than normal at 10:30, probably because some people think it's 9:30. I've just changed the clock. It is officially 10:30. If you're on your way in, then welcome to come in and find a seat. We are really excited to see everybody, particularly warm welcome to those who are watching online later on today or later on this week. It's just really encouraging to hear of people on our online ministry who are just joining us and who God is meeting in their homes and in different places. So welcome to all of you. If you don't know me, my name's Dave Bruce. I'm the rector here, and it's a great privilege to be here with you this morning as we finish our series of Holy Habits, as today we particularly look at guidance. But more of that later. There's lots to talk about, and I'm really excited about what God's going to do this morning. And we've just prayed, a little group of us that meets at 10 o'clock, and anyone can come and join us at 10 o'clock. Children and young people, watch out today, because we've just prayed that God's going to encounter you and give you a double portion of his encounter this morning compared to those of us in church. So I want us to, those of us who are in church, and I don't want that to mean that we're not going to encounter God very much in church. I want even more encounter for God, for our young people and our children. So young people and children, co-expectantly to your groups this morning, that God's going to meet you and God's going to talk to you and that God's going to guide you as well as you learn with your leaders this morning. Yesterday, about 40 of our leaders from St. Andrew's and All Saints gathered for a really inspirational Vision and Values Day with Tim Alford, who heads up Elim Youth Ministries. And we'll share more of that later on once we've processed it, perhaps particularly in July. It's stuff that I'm going to take away on my sabbatical with me. But we started yesterday by reading from Isaiah 35, and we've just again reflected on this in prayers, and I want to begin by sharing that with you again today. And Isaiah 35 says this. It says, the desert, it's basically an exciting vision of what is to come. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of the Lord. And then there's an instruction for us. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Some people might relate to that more than others. Say to those with fearful hearts, and that's all of us at times, isn't it? Be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He'll come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He'll come to save you. Then listen what the promise will be. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. You know, I think God's showing us gradually something of what we're going to see in the light of that in the next few months and years. And I'm excited, and I'm going to share more about that later. But today I want to just say, let's come with expectant hearts, that today is going to be part of that story. I don't know what God's going to do this morning, but I know he's going to do something in all of us if we have open hearts. So let us stand and let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and be in this place and open our hearts to God working and speaking and guiding us this morning. So just perhaps as you begin, just anything that you want to get rid of before God, anything that you want to say sorry for to God, just say that now. Just get right with him. Get right with him, acknowledging he's a holy God. And let's say the words that were up on the screen, if we can put them back, Jin. Let's say these words together. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Meet us here.
So get your instruments.
Thank you.
And Lord, we cry out hallelujah, even though it's still Lent and we're not supposed to as Anglicans. Because actually we want to celebrate who you are every single day of the year. And we want to acknowledge that you are the God who saves us, the God who loves us, the God who knows us. And just as we come to worship you this morning, Lord, would you continue to draw us closer to you? Just help us to become more like the Jesus that we serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Do take seats. We've had a busy week this week in our schools. And one of the things we were talking about yesterday was actually about celebrating the great things that God is doing in our town and in our communities. And so I want to celebrate this morning. I want to celebrate some of the things that have been happening. And some of you young people actually might even want to come, and I haven't prepared anyone, but if any of you young people want to come and talk about it as well with me, then you're very welcome. Just come to the front and we'll make it work. Especially you, Eamon. Where is he? So what's been happening in our churches this week, in our schools this week, is we've been doing Experience Easter. So here are some pictures of Experience Easter. If you don't know Experience Easter, Experience Easter was written by Sian at the back there, Sian Vickery. How many years ago, Sian? About 15 years ago. And how many schools do you reckon it's gone into across the country? Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing. We hadn't done it since 2019. So this week we did the parish school. Brilliant, you've come to talk to me. That's great. The parish school here on Monday. We did the Witch School at All Saints on Tuesday, and these are pictures from the Wells School on Wednesday. And basically there are different stations which you go round and tell the different story in different places, and then at the end we all come together to learn about the resurrection. Did you do it this week? Yeah?
What did you say?
Did you do it this week at the parish? It's not your gear group. Okay. You can just stand by. Next time, you'll be able to do that. But you can talk to me about the next bit.
And also, at Easter on Friday, the next Friday,
yep.
I'm going to have a trombola.
There you go. There you go. You never know. Never know what's going to happen up here. Okay, now, I think you can talk about this, Eamon, can't you? Because actually, we've also had Forefront Theatre Company going around our three church schools.
My theatre company was quite silly.
Oh, yeah, I know. We're gonna show a bit of video of these. And actually, what we're going to do is they showed their new production called The Parable Keeper. And basically, what happens is they did lots of little drama, lots of little stories in one big story, telling the parables in really engaging, fun ways. And what we're going to...
Do you know that there's over 40 stories in the parables?
He's learnt that this week. And Eamon, can you tell us what a parable is?
It's a story by Jesus.
Fantastic. A story by Jesus. And they talked about a story by Jesus which has a moral, didn't it? You are brilliant. You're completely unprompted. So we're going to involve everybody now, Eamon. Can you help me judge? Because what we're going to do is we're going to play... I'm going to show you a video clip of Forefront Theatre Company this week in Malvern Wells. And you're going to play Guess the Parable. Okay? So this side are going to have two, and this side are going to have two, and Eamon's going to decide who's going to answer the question. So we're going to have the first one. It's just a 10-second clip for each one, and you've got to work out which parable it is. Are you ready? Is the sound on? Here we go. So we've got Ben. Actually, Ben, you've seen it, haven't you? Is there someone else who hasn't seen it? Can I have a guess? If you could hear what was being sung there, Polly. It is the lost sheep. They were singing, "Where's that sheep?" And then the sheep appeared on the top. And ever since, I've been having that song, "Where's that sheep?" going round and round and round in my head all week.
And guess what? They had a hook and they hooked the sheep. And guess what? We had to shout out where it was. And first it was a funny one with the coins. And the lady was really sad because she lost one of her coins.
She lost one of her coins. We did the lost coin first and then the lost sheep. You can see how much they take it in, can't you? Right, next one, this side. Are you ready?
Eventually, she came to her senses.
The toilet back home, I'll nearly despaired. Maybe if I was to go home and grow up, I could beg for a job and work for my dad.
So she set off for home, dejected and alone, but didn't know what she'd say at all. She finally got there, didn't know what to say, and that's when Dad saw her, standing at the bottom of the drive.
What would he say?
This prodigal kid.
How dare she come back?
This prodigal kid.
Would he be angry?
This prodigal.
The dad saw his daughter standing at the end of the driveway and set off running towards her. He was still wearing his slippers, stumbling as he went. He got closer and closer, and when he was very close, he opened his arms and...
Okay. Who reckons they know which one this is? We're getting a bit more enthusiasm and a bit more of the idea of it now. Right at the back, tell me. The prodigal son, absolutely. Apart from they did the prodigal daughter. And the prodigal daughter didn't feed pigs, she cleaned out toilets. But there you go. Right, one all. You're doing well. Next one, this one. They get a little bit harder.
No, that ain't cool. You could have stuck it in a bank. What do you think as a blank? I at least expected interest. What is this? Some sick prank.
You got to hear the words. Which was, you should have stuck it in a bank. You could have at least collected interest. You've forgotten the name. I think you know the one. Forgotten the... Joe. The parable of the talents. Absolutely. Andy. Andy, great. Andy's in the middle there, isn't he? He's in neither... Right, last one. Last one. And this was my favourite, but actually it's probably the hardest one for you to guess. But this was really done very cleverly, and I hope you can get a bit of the feel of it.
Brushed her silver grey hair from her face. She walked through heavy rain, leaning on her cane. She walked with a...
Now, that's a hard one. Any ideas? Yeah, we've got an answer over there. It's this side first. We'll come for you for a bonus mark, if necessary. Susie? No, it wasn't. I can see why you've said that. It wasn't actually, but I can see totally why you've said that. One of the parables, geez, right at the back. The widow's mite, it was indeed. I didn't show you very much there. So that was the widow who was about to go and put her two coins in. And actually, the kids came out saying that, you know. They came out talking to their teachers and saying, I want to tell you about the parables. And it was brilliant. And at the end, you know, the guys all come out and they say, you know, this is why I'm a Christian and this is what it means to be a Christian. And they talked about God's forgiveness and God's love and talked about the Easter story. And it was amazing. And I want to say thank you to you guys, because actually it's your gifts which enable us to pay for these to happen in our schools. So 450 children have actually had this amazing story and amazing fun because you guys have paid for it. And that's an amazing privilege. Thank you, Eamon. Do you want to go sit down there? And the great news is that if you look at this and think, I wish I'd been able to see it, you can. Because it's happening at MEC on Palm Sunday, next Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Details on the mailing. Go, children, you go and take your parents there so that they can have the fun experience that you've had too. Go and make it a sellout. go and bring some friends. It's going to be amazing. But that's what we've been doing this week. Easter is coming up here. All our Easter services. Hopefully you've all got a... Eamon's modelling the Easter leaflet. But I also wanted just to show you the trailer. Hold on a minute. I'll have a chat when I put the video on with you. I want to show you the trailer of the Great Malvern Easter treasure hunts, which some people are hopefully going to go and try for me this afternoon. Here we go.
We want to invite you to come and take part in the Great Malvern Easter Treasure Hunt. It's a web-based interactive treasure hunt that will take you to different locations around Malvern. You'll start here at St Andrew's Church in Pulbrook and you'll end up at British Camp. So you're going to need to travel by car to the different secret locations, and at each of those locations you'll be able to watch a video of the amazing Easter story. After that, you'll have puzzles to solve, you'll have questions to answer, and you'll also be invited to enter into the story, to imagine yourself in that part of the story and think about how you would have felt and what you would have done in those different situations. This is an exciting adventure for everybody, whether you're young or old, whether you want to do it with your family or friends or on your own. So come and try this amazing Easter adventure and have great fun as you explore this amazing Easter story.
So the diocese has put some amazing videos together which star some amazing actors in our congregation. You must do it. You don't have to go up onto the hills to do the last couple of sections. You can skip it if you've got mobility issues. But it's going to be great fun. Spread the word. And hopefully next Sunday morning we're going to be on BBC Hereford and Worcester advertising this more widely as well. So go and do it. It's open from next Saturday officially, and there will be prizes. We're going to pray for our children and our young people as they go, and pray they have great fun. Lord, thank you for our children and young people. Thank you for the great blessing they are to us. Thank you for all that we've been able to share with so many children this week. And we pray as they go to their groups now that you would give them a really special time. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Great to see you guys. We'll see you later. Come and talk to us about what you've been learning. And Heather's going to come up and lead us in prayer, particularly for these things. Off you go. Off you go, Eamon.
Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you in prayer. It's such a privilege that you have given us all these precious children and young people to nurture and love and lead to you. And we echo the prayers already offered for them this morning. And Lord, we thank you for many experiences of answered prayer. We just take a moment to reflect on prayers that have been answered for us or that we have prayed for others. And we offer before you, Lord, the prayers that don't appear to have been answered or not in the way that we longed for. And we lay them before you, Lord, and ask that we may trust you completely. We're going to pray through these various Easter events. So here I'm holding a copy of the leaflet, and there are bundles of them outside. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we, your people, deliver these leaflets in our locality or maybe further afield, that you will remind us to pray for each house as we put the leaflet through the door, that they may arrive through the letterbox in the power of your Holy Spirit, that they may be picked up and read, and that you will give people a hunger and a desire to come and learn more about you and to hear the Easter story, Lord, and that then they will really encounter you. So bless these leaflets, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We pray to you, Lord, for the the Great Malvern Easter Treasure Hunt, thanking you for that, and asking that as many people we hope and believe will embark on it, that they may do it safely and with joy. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to spread the word more widely through BBC Hereford and Worcester. And thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We pray that many people may seize the opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity to see the Parable Keeper at Malvern Evangelical next Sunday, and ask that many of the children will want to take their parents to go and see it, and that others will come, Lord, to meet you through the stories of our Lord Jesus, the incomparable storyteller. And I want to bring to you, Lord, the Holy Week reflections which have been and are being recorded to go out online during Holy Week. We thank you for each member of this church who has recorded a reflection on different aspects of the story of the last week of Jesus' life on earth. We pray that many people will tune into these, will click on them, will listen and meet you through those reflections. We lift those to you too, Lord, in Jesus' name. And then we think about our journey through Holy Week. We think about Maundy Thursday and how we will have the opportunity to watch with you in the garden, to encounter your amazing love as you washed your disciples' feet, to think about the betrayal and how many times, Lord, we have failed you. We pray a special blessing on that event on Maundy Thursday. And then, Lord, not only our services here on Good Friday and Messy Church Good Friday up at All Saints and the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday at All Saints, Early Birds and our morning services and the six on Easter Sunday, all these opportunities, Lord, for us to encounter you in new ways and to share this amazing Easter message with other people. But we also pray, Lord, for the united act of witness, the processions of witness on Good Friday and the service in the grounds of the Priory. And Lord, you know how difficult it is to find a place centrally in Malvern where there'll be a lot of people. And so we pray there will be a lot of people going up and down Church Street that day who may hear the message and be touched and want to learn more. We lift all these events to you, Lord, and thank you for the opportunity of sharing the Easter message. We pray for each one of us that we may go more deeply into the experience of Easter ourselves, that we may come closer to you, that as we walk with you through those last days, you will touch our hearts in new ways and deepen our experience of the amazing love that brought you to Calvary, the amazing power which raised you from the dead to give us eternal life. And now, Lord, we bring personal needs to you, thinking of those in our fellowship who need our prayer, particularly those who are facing an unexpected crisis, but also those with long-term needs. And in our hearts, we lift before you those that are on our minds. Merciful and loving Father, we offer you these prayers in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Just a few other notices that you might just be attend or pray for in the week. And that starts by with a bring and share lunch after this service. I hope people have registered that. If you haven't, there's still time to go and get something and come and join us, or just turn up anyway and we will pray the food goes around. But do come and join us for that after the service. Everyone welcome. Saturday is the men's breakfast. Paul Hunt is going to be speaking at that about journeying with God, sharing some of his story. Will be well worth coming and listening to. 8:30 at Wetherspoons. Just turn up in the room downstairs if you've never been before. There's always a good crowd of 30 or so men who are there to enjoy company, breakfast and a good talk. And as Heather was just sharing, we are going to be, over Easter too, putting a daily reflection on our website and on our Facebook page. More details of that in the mailing this week. And it's really great. I really love the variety of people that we've got. We've got a whole load of people who don't normally speak sharing those. And I'm not going to tell you who they are. You'll have to log on and see who they are. But they're worth listening to. And just to say too, yeah, we're going to have an Alpha course after Easter. And we're not quite sure when. We're going to invite people to book in and then see when people can do that. Particularly, we're going to advertise it for the Great Malvern Easter Treasure Hunt as well. So pray for that. And if there's anyone here who would like to do that, to just explore more about faith, maybe you've just become a Christian or you're exploring faith now, or actually you've just got a bit stuck and want to go back and refresh yourself on those things, then please talk to Colin. Colin, where are you? Colin's there. Do talk to Colin afterwards. You can log in and register on the website there, and some flyers are arriving tomorrow for that as well, and we'll be plugging that a bit more in the next few weeks. But really exciting that's happening. And pray, who might you invite and who might you ask to come with me, with you for that? As we prepare to just read God's word and just to reflect on that, we're going to sing a couple more songs of worship to God. And as we do that, just pray and allow God to prepare your hearts and tune you in and align you in for him speaking later, or maybe even speaking through these songs as we do them. Stand. Thank you. To look at your words right now. Help us to just understand the power of these words we're about to read. That these isn't just words of another storybook, but these are the words of God. God breathed words, words with power, words which can cut right to the heart. And just as we're listening to these words now read, would you speak to us even as they're read? As we've been doing in these last few weeks of Lectio, would you draw us to those things which you want to say to us that are right for us this very moment? Reveal the truths that you want to reveal to us. Just show us how to live lives which are following you wholeheartedly. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Do take a seat. James is going to read.
We're reading from Acts chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, and then from 6 to 21. It's about the council at Jerusalem. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you're circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. And then from verse 6, the apostles and elders met to consider this question, and after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders that God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. And then a couple of words from John chapter 16. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I want to start with a confession. I often start with a confession. My confession's this. When I put this sermon series together, or Joe and I put this sermon series together in November, I thought this was a bit of a nice filler sermon series for Lent. I didn't know anything about the Lectio course. Didn't find out about that till January. And I didn't know how God had gone before and had tied everything together. And even these different titles which Joe put together, I can't believe quite how they fitted so well around that. And I think this sermon series has been one of the most significant we've done, because I hear so many stories of how you guys are engaging with Scripture yourselves and meeting God yourselves. And that's what this is all about. It's not us spoon-feeding you. It's about us learning together how we, together, but also as individuals, can engage with God and do this stuff ourselves. And it's really exciting to see what God's doing. So, sorry, God, I got you wrong. And I'm sad to come to the end of the series. The other interesting thing about this is I only put myself down to preach 2 out of the 6. The first and the last. I've ended up preaching 5 out of the 6 because people have been away. I think that's just God paying me, saying you're having 3 months off, so you've got to make up for it now. But as we've done this course, as we've done the Lectio course, there's a question that I keep being asked, keeps coming up, and it's this one. How do I know if what I hear is from God? How do I know if where my mind, my imagination is taking me is my own ideas or from God's? And it's a right and a really important question to ask, isn't it? And fundamental, if we're going to just be listening from God right. So we're going to sort of unpack that question a bit today. But I'll touch on it a bit later on. Because I first want to talk about guidance itself. What do we mean by guidance, and why is guidance important? And I want to start by this quote which I came across from Richard Foster, who has put together the sort of Celebration of Discipline book, which a lot of this stuff has come from. And he says this, he says, guidance is the most radical of the disciplines because it goes to the heart of the matter of walking with God. Guidance means the glorious life of hearing God's voice and obeying his words. You know, there's two things here, isn't it, if we want to talk about guidance. One is we hear God's voice. What's God saying? But it doesn't stop there, I'm afraid. The second thing is obeying it. So when we're talking about guidance, we hear, and we hear so that we can obey. I wonder what your experiences of God's guidance are over the years. And I apologize to those people who've heard some of the stories I'm going to share before. But there's a load of you who haven't heard these stories, and I love telling my stories, these stories particularly. Maybe you've had times where God has guided you really clearly. Now, many of you know that actually God really clearly guided me here to this job, I believe. There's lots of things, but I'm going to think about two of them. One of them is a particular scripture that God gave me, and I can remember where I was. It was the middle of August. I'd applied, and I was waiting for interview. And in the middle of August, in the church that I was working at that time, we read this, Psalm 16. And this, you know, when God brings, as we've been seeing with Lectio, God brings this stuff and says, this is what I want you to notice about this chapter. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. There are not many parishes in this country where the boundary lines are in such beautiful places. Like the edge, the very top, our boundary line of All Saints Parish is the very top of the hill, of the hills. Now, God spoke to me twice about that passage. It was a confirmation that this is where I want you. And then some of you have heard my other story about a picture that was over the loo. That when we got married, we were given this picture that for 10 years was over our loo. And I looked at it every single day. And then when I came for interview, and we took about 4 days to decide whether we were going to say yes or not, just because I won't go into that. No, nothing to do with you guys. It was the process. The process didn't let me meet any of you, which I was a bit cross about. But anyway, so we eventually said yes at about 6 o'clock on the Thursday. I remember it well. And I went to our life group was on the Thursday evening. And on those Thursday evenings, we were going through the videos that we've done here, actually, from Francis Chan. And at the end of that verse video, Francis Chan said this. And I'd already said yes, but for me that was confirmation of God saying, you heard right. This is the place for you. This is where I've called you to be. And I knew it many years before you did. And it has been staring you in the face all along. And I'm very grateful. So there are times when many of us will have really heard God's voice. And God guide us. And I don't mean an audible voice, but God will have guided us. There are other times when actually maybe we've had someone else tell you that God's guided them clearly and they got it wrong. I've had a girl come to me and say, God's told me he's going to marry you. And I said, well, God hasn't told me yet. And she's now happily married to somebody else and is a priest in the Church of England. But not me. And there are other times when maybe you've sought guidance and prayed for direction and then none has come. And that's tough, isn't it? When you really want to know what God wants you to do and you're really open, but you get nothing. I'm sure many of us have experienced that. And I want to say right at the start, I want to say the clanging gong and the neon lights type of guidance that I've just been talking about are rare. I'm going to tell you my best stories of the last 50 years in this sermon of God guiding, but they don't happen every day. And I think sometimes when you hear speakers talk about this, you think they're getting these every single day. We're not. But I want to say what I've learned is that actually sometimes God guides us really clearly for those things which are going to be toughest. And my feeling is that the more clearly you're guided, the tougher that actually that journey is probably going to be. And I know that. And that's why God guides me so clearly, because at times I've had to go back to this and said, I am meant to be here, even though I don't think I can do it and I don't understand what's going on. So I don't want you to get hung up on, I think the danger can be that we just can get so hung up on wanting to follow God's path, wanting to stay in the center of God's will as if there's only one path so often. But I actually think most of the time God isn't interested. He's not saying to you there is one path and if you deviate off that, you've got it wrong. I think actually most of the times God is interested much more in how we set off and how we walk along that path than actually which path we take. I think there are some times when God says, this is where I want you. But I think an awful lot of the time it says, God says, you can do that, or you can do that, or you can do that, or you can do that. I don't mind. I just want you to do it wholeheartedly for me. And I think that can be really freeing. I came across this quote this week as well. Living in the center of God's will looks like stopping, praying, listening, seeking wise counsel. And in the direct absence of a direct message from God, using the lesser talked of spiritual gift of common sense to make a decision. Following, and I love this, following God's will is more about every step along our decision-making journeys being for his glory and in worship of him, regardless of the final outcome. I think that's really important. So often we can get caught up, which way does God want me to go? And as if we go, right, I've done it now and I can do whatever I want now. But actually, God said every single step of our journey, we want to do it for the glory of God in worship to him, regardless of what happens. And God's more interested in those little steps along the way than actually sometimes which path you're taking. And I want to say, you know, if you are the sort of person who lives a bit anxiously and thinking, well, am I going to do this or am I going to do that and what's right? And sometimes it can paralyze us. I want to say, relax. Just be open to God, but enjoy the journey. And focus on the journey. So having said that, I want to turn to scripture. Do turn to Acts chapter 15. Because I want to just unpack this scripture. Because I think it's a really helpful one for thinking about guidance. Can someone just shout out the page number? 1110. Just a bit of context of this. What this is this basically an important church conference. You know, this was the early church's equivalent of General Synod's meeting, called the Council of Jerusalem in AD 50. A very, very important meeting for us blokes here. We'll come on to why in a minute. Important people were attending the conference. Paul, Peter, Titus, James, Barnabas. And they came together to discuss a contentious issue. You know, the church had spread to the Gentile, the non-Jewish areas, and they'd seen many conversions amongst the Gentiles, and Gentile churches were springing up. And there was a big question that they needed to answer. Do Gentile Christians need to be circumcised? Do they need to become Jewish, in effect, to be saved? Guys, let's be grateful they came up with the right decision. And actually a sharp dispute broke out, as it says in verse 2. So what they needed was they needed to get together and get some guidance and ask God, what is the right answer? Because they were disagreeing. And what we see here, the first thing that they do was they gather the leaders together to seek God. So verse 2 and verse 3, it talks about different leaders coming together, all gathering in Jerusalem, the apostles and people coming to discern together. And I think that's really important. They discern together prayerfully. You know, working out God's guidance isn't something we're meant to do on our own. You know, something for life groups, for you to say, this is what I think God's saying to me. Can we work out together whether we feel this is right? We discern together. That's how God's created us. You know, we had an amazing Leaders Day yesterday where we were discerning together what the values of this church are. And it was really encouraging to hear how God was speaking to different people. Secondly, what happened then is they observed what they sensed the Spirit was doing. So verse 8, it says, God showed he accepted the Gentiles by giving the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles just as he did to us. You know, they found that some of the Holy Spirit, that some of the Gentiles were speaking in tongues when they became converted. Not that speaking in tongues is a sign of conversion. It's just one of the things which can show that. But it was clearly that they were being given the Holy Spirit. So they observed what the Spirit was doing, but they didn't stop there. What they then went on to do is, most importantly, they checked to see if it aligned with Scripture. Verses 15 to 18. Look at what it says there. It says, the words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it's written, that the remnant will seek the Lord and the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord. You know, it was written, they looked back to the prophetic prophets and said, actually, it's written there that Gentiles are going to become to faith, that this faith isn't just for the Jews. So really important, they checked it against Scripture. Because Scripture is the baseline for guidance. Scripture trumps everything. Scripture trumps experience. If it doesn't align with Scripture, actually, alarm bells need to go off everywhere. A bit of an aside, you know, the church, and I'm not going to get into this in too much detail, and I don't want to open up a can of worms, but the church has been in some quite similar situations recently, discussing some contentious issues, which I really don't want us to open up now. We'll talk about that after my sabbatical. But what's really concerned me is that in many of these arguments presented, experience has trumped Scripture, rather than Scripture trumping experience. And I'm really anxious that that's a slippery slope, because then our reference point disappears and everything goes. You know, the disciples didn't say here, look what God seems to be doing, so it must be right. They said, look what God seems to be doing, and let's check with Scripture to see if that's aligned, to see whether we're right in what we're observing. We need to be grounded in the truth of Scripture so that we aren't blown around by persuasive arguments and drawn into simply being the same as the world. And that's where Scripture is our baseline to check everything against. I've been concerned that some of the arguments in the church, by high up people in the church, have said this. There's a radical dislocation between culture and church, in effect, so we, the church, need to get in line with culture so we don't put people off. Now, that's letting modern culture be our baseline for guidance rather than Scripture. And that goes totally against what I read in the Scriptures. You know, Paul in Romans 12 says this, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is good, well, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Scripture says you're going to be different from the world. Don't be conformed to the world. We mustn't use the argument of culture says this, therefore we need to just keep in step with culture to make our decisions. I could say more, and I'm not going to. The message I want to communicate is that Scripture needs to be our yardstick and our touchstone. So three things I think we see here from discerning God's guidance. One, discern prayerfully together. Two, observe what's the Spirit doing. And three, check, does it align with Scripture? But I want to say also that guidance isn't just about what we do. If we look at the John reading very briefly, I'm not going to say much about this, but, you know, let's have a look at this. I have much more to say to you, Jesus says, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. It's really interesting there that the Spirit of God guides us into truth. The Spirit, I think, helps us when we read Scripture to understand what it is, understand what truth is. Really important there. And then, you know, it goes on to say, and he will tell you what is yet to come. You know, there's two lots of guidance. Guidance in what is true and what is right and what is God's words. And guidance too, and, you know, actually perhaps saying, you know, this is what's to come. Go and ponder that. I've not got time to unpack that anymore. Another story. 12 years ago, when I was exploring curacy, I was one of the last people in my year to get the curates. get their curacy post, and I was getting a bit fed up with God that he didn't show me what it was and didn't guide me when everyone else seemed to be getting their jobs. I think I was the second from last to get the job. And at the time, we asked our friends to pray. We wanted to do that communal guidance together. So Alice sent out a load of emails to her friends because she had more friends than I did at that stage, and they were more spiritual ones. And we said, will you pray? And only two people responded with anything significant. And those two people sent us the same verse. One was serving in Afghanistan at the time, and the other one was in this country. They were 9,000 miles apart. And they sent us Psalm 77, which says, your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. And that was a word for us to say, God saying, I've got it. You can't see it yet. I've got it. But my footprints aren't seen yet. But trust me. And we needed that. And then when we were looking at three different curacy churches, quite big churches, significant churches at the time. And when we were just about to get in the car to go to Loughborough, to look at the church in Loughborough, other friends, Alice's friends, because they're the spiritual ones, phoned us up and said, we've just been praying for you and we've got a picture for you. And that picture is of you in a church. You're standing at the front of the church. There are three big doors in front of you. We were looking at three big churches at the time. And they said, you don't go through any of those doors. You turn to the back of the church and you go through a little door at the back, which takes you out into a Narnia of blessing. 6 months after I came to Malvern, God needed to confirm to me this is where I needed to be. And someone said, have you seen the little door in the back of the priory? The little door, which is that green door there, which says next to it, this is the door which C.S. Lewis, they think C.S. Lewis, inspired C.S. Lewis to write the Chronicles of Narnia. The door that inspired the wardrobe. And if you go out of that door, you see the scene that's described at the start of The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. That was a prophetic word that was given to us about 4 or 5 years previously that we had to sit on until the right time came. But we remembered it. And always write down the prophetic words given to you. So I'm coming to land. How do we know what we hear is from God? Well, Nicky Gumbel comes up with 5 CSs in the Alpha Course, which I think are helpful and gives us some questions to ask. First CS is commanding scripture. What we've been talking about. Is it in line with the Bible and God's character? If it's not, dismiss it. Secondly, compelling spirits. You know, what that's about is, do you get that sense from the Holy Spirit, this is right? You know, what I often have when I have sensing God speaking to me is I just often have a real peace about it, a real sense, yes, a yes in my stomach, which I can only explain being the Holy Spirit, and I just think that's right. Thirdly, the counsel of the saints. Do others around me sense it's from God too? That's why we share this stuff. Share your big decisions in your life groups and say, what are you sensing, guys? Can you pray? Can we discern together? Can we listen to God together? This next one I have some slight issues with. Common sense. Does it feel right? Now, I think that's a good check, but I put that one in brackets because was God saying to Noah, build an ark, common sense? No. So sometimes God will tell us to do things which aren't common sense. And we need to be aware of that. But it also is a good check. Does it make sense? It's a question mark on that one. And the last one is circumstantial signs. Basically, are there other things that confirm it? Like my picture in the loop. And scripture, and the picture in the loo, and a word from somebody, and 5 people giving you the same verse in a week, which I sometimes have. They are circumstantial signs. Often what I find is when you get the same thing repeated different times, that's when God's underlining it, saying, this is from me. So I want to encourage you to use that check. Maybe, you know, just talk about that in your life groups when you're coming up to that. And those things I think are really helpful. And I want to finish with one more story. A few years ago, and I can't remember, it's probably 2 or 3 years ago, Alice was, I've not even talked to Alice about, is Alice here? No, our kids aren't very well. Alice just felt God was giving her a verse as she prayed. And it's this one from Amos 9 that I've shared with one or two people lately. And it's in the Message version. And it says this. It says, yes, indeed. And I just want to say, this was given in the context of a tough time in the last few years. But God gave this. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right again for my people Israel, etc., etc., etc. We've sat with that verse for tough times for the last 3 years, particularly tough times for the last few months, and thought, where are you, God? Because this was a promise we felt. And I think we're now beginning to see it. I think God's beginning to do it. And there have been times in the last few weeks where I've looked and I've thought, God, you're doing things so fast, I can't keep up with you. And some of the other leaders around here and PCCs will know that actually we've had a PCC on a Thursday and there hasn't been an idea on the Monday. These two new jobs we've just advertised, there wasn't an idea on the Monday for the PCC meeting on the Thursday. And within 3 weeks later, people were in post. God's moved so fast, we can't keep up. And yesterday, at the Leaders' Day, Tim Alford, who was sharing with us, said, I've got a picture, I've got a word for the church. And this was his picture that he drew. Ignore this bit. He says, I just feel God, he says, I don't know what the situation is, but I just sense God has just given me this picture of actually a big boulder that you've been pushing up this massive hill. And it's been really hard. And it's been a hard time. And you've just thought, can we do it? It's been where I've been the last few months, last 9 months. If I'm honest, since Peter left. But he says the word God wants to say to you is just a little bit more. So you're here. It's just a little bit more. And then actually you're going to reach a tipping point where actually that big boulder is going to run down the hill so fast that you can't keep up with God. And I thought that yesterday. And I planned to talk about this at the end before yesterday. And then suddenly this morning I thought, I related this to that. And I think that's God confirming that. So watch out. I think we're in for an interesting ride. And I hope I don't miss all the fun while I'm away. But if I do, enjoy yourselves. That's what I wanted to share this morning. But I want to just give us a little bit of space to just be open to God. I think we're just going to sing one song at the end, Debbie. So choose which one. But I want to give us some space just to allow God to speak to us. Maybe that actually God wants to say something to you as an individual right now in this space. Maybe something that God wants to say to you as an individual for us as a church. And I've got some pens and paper here at the front. If you sense God saying something for us as a church, please come and just write it down in these next few minutes while the song's playing, while we're reflecting. Maybe that you feel God's been saying something to you and you've been thinking, I'm not sure whether that's God's voice or not. Then actually there are going to be people who will be up the front here who would love to pray and to talk with you. Council of the Saints, let's reflect together. But let's just use, I just felt God's wanting us to just be open to his guidance now and begin to practice this stuff that we've been talking about. So I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And I'm going to invite you that we're going to have a bit of silence. And then we'll just, the music group will come up. And if you want to sing, you can sing. If you want to just keep in that place of God, do. If you want to come up for prayer, do. If you want to come up and write some words for the church or anything, words that you sense God be saying here, then do. If you want to go and kneel at the altar rail, whatever you need to do. But let's be open to God's Spirit now. So we just say, come, Holy Spirit. We want to be led by you. We want to walk each way, each step on the way, in tune with you. Come and meet us now. Come and guide us. Come and say whatever we need to be told now. It might be confirmation of something we've sensed you speaking about. It might be something new. It might be a word for the church. It might be a word for the situation. But we open ourselves to you now, Lord Jesus. And we say, come and guide. Come and speak. Come and show us your way. Because we want to walk with you in your vision. Three things which particularly came up in prayers before the service. Isaiah 30:21 may be for someone here. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. It's another word about someone here is a real diamond in God's eyes. Just a real precious jewel. But that diamond has been hard pressed over, you know, just recent times. And diamonds are formed because of pressure. And maybe as someone here who's just had excruciating pressure that has formed you into that precious diamond that you are. But God wants to say, particularly today, he wants to soften you, that he just, you're not just a hard jewel, but he wants to soften you and to just for you to encounter his love today. Don't harden yourself. He wants to encounter your love. He wants you to encounter his love in an amazing way. And another word, just that word to some people, to wake up. You know, maybe you know you've been drifting with God for a long time. And Jesus says, wake up. Stop being lazy. Wake up. Because I want you to join in with what's going on here. Now, if you any of those are relevant for you, then please do come and get someone to pray for you, either next to you or come up front. But let's have the band now and just invite you for this last song to respond however you need to. If you've got words that you sense God is speaking to you, come and write them down. We may share them at an appropriate time. If you want prayer, come and receive prayer. If you want to come and kneel at the altar, come and kneel at the altar. If you want to stand and worship, stand and worship. But just let God do what he wants to do in you now. going to just keep some space for people to continue to engage with God. If you want to come and pray, if you want to write something down that you sense God's been saying, you know, whatever you need to do, do. But we're going to close the service now. Perhaps if someone might bring the collection plate up, that would be great. And if I can have the last slides on. You know, the amazing thing is, and God's been speaking to me again about this week, that actually when we are aligned with God's vision, God will resource what that vision needs to have. And that comes so much from you guys. And I want to say thank you to you guys for the ways that you give to allow Forefront Theatre Company, to allow working schools, to allow us to employ extra staff. Ruth Wharton and I are going into the Grove School tomorrow, which is a new school to us, to do an Easter assembly. That's a new opening that God's opening up. So Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you've given us, and we just pray that you'll continue to keep us in your vision, and that you will continue to resource the resources that we need to fulfill your vision. And we thank you that these all come from you. So as we go out from here, we say, from here to a world in need, send us out for your glory. To live what we've sung out, send us out for your glory. To homes, jobs, communities, send us out for your glory. To joys, uncertainties and challenges, send us out for your glory. To be your hands and feet this week, send us out for your glory. Remaining in you to bear good fruit, send us out for your glory. And may he send you out to deliver leaflets too. And pray as you do that, and pray that God would give you encounters with people along the way. Pray that God would surprise you, that you think you're just delivering leaflets, but God's actually going to live this out as you deliver them. Come and have lunch with us. Come and pray. Perhaps we could sing Be Thou My Vision. Is that the last one? If you need to go and collect kids, do. If you need to just do whatever you need to do, do. If you want to go and chat, please go and chat in the hall or somewhere else. Let's keep this a holy space for God to keep ministering to us. Bless you all.
Riches I need, your love.